This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey, London, we're coming.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Coming to you to do two shows this year, again, as part of the London Podcast Festival at King's Place, our favorite place to do shows. We're there a lot, every year, pretty much. But this is going to be the best year ever. It's September 13th. That's Friday. It's Friday the 13th. It's going to be a spooky show.
Maybe Jason will be there.
They don't know who Jason is over there. They're like, oh, Jason Carruthers.
The famous cricket player.
September 14th. That's a Saturday. That's going to be the second show. It's going to be less spooky. Or maybe it'll be even spookier.
Maybe we'll both be long dead by then.
Yeah. So, you know, you
scared
come
to death.
Look. These are always a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
We were just talking about how ridiculous we're going to make these shows. They're going to be great. And then afterwards, you know, you come and hang out. You do all the things. Anyway, you can get tickets at tcgte.com/tour. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
tcgte.com/tour. Do it soon. They're almost sold out. Can I lie and say that?
I mean, they might be. You don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how many tickets we've sold.
Yeah.
All right. See you then, London. Thank you.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I'm one of your hosts, Tom.
And I'm Tim.
Tim, how are you doing this week?
I'm ashamed.
Ashamed of what?
Just looking back on my life.
Yeah.
Just let a lot of people down.
Wow. What in particular?
Just decisions I've made, you know, family, my parents.
Going through your diary?
Nah, just going through, you know, it's taking stock. How are you doing this week?
That's a good way to fall asleep at night.
Take stock of all your faults and
while you're laying
failures.
In bed, you just think about all the things you've done wrong throughout your life and how your life could have turned out differently if you had done things differently.
Yeah, I think that's what they say. That's the path to happiness.
Well, that's the best way. It's a good way to fall asleep. It's the new counting sheep. Just
counting failures.
Yeah. And before you know it, you've drifted off into a nice soft sleep. I told you off the show, but I got a buckwheat pillow.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't a sponsor or anything, so I'm not going to tell you who I got it from.
Now, a lot of people think the Little Rascals are problematic, Tom, but you got a big picture of...
Yeah, it's like one of those hentai pillows, but, you know, it's in the
but
shape
of a small
of,
boy.
It's in the shape of the Little Rascal buckwheat, and I sleep with it at night. I hug it.
Okay, that's, again, I'll say problematic on a number of levels.
Yeah, now it's even more problematic now that you mention it.
Yeah.
No, Tim, it's got buckwheat husk inside. Let me tell you, you one of these people, you like me, you get real hot-headed when you're asleep?
I get hot-headed all the time, Tom.
Yeah. Well, I can't bring the buckwheat pillow with me everywhere. It's heavy. It's heavy as hell. That's one of the things they don't tell you.
Well, to answer your question, yes, I'm always flipping the pillow over.
Yeah, no, this thing, it really lets you breathe.
Welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, the show where the content sounds like an ad, but we don't get paid.
Yeah. If you're one of these companies out there making one of these pillows, get in touch, because look, I'm giving a ringing endorsement already.
Yeah, why would they get in touch?
Because I'm not saying who I bought it from, Tim.
All right. You went to Amazon and searched
no,
buckwheat pillows.
No, that's not what I did. Who the hell knows what I did? Maybe
was
I bought it from a man on the street. Maybe I bought it secondhand.
Something you heard on the Joe Rogan podcast, huh?
No. Maybe I made my own.
Buckwheat. What is buckwheat?
It's a type of wheat.
How's that different from like standard wheat?
It might not be different at all for all I know.
Yeah.
But you don't put
hosed.
The whole, it's not, it's the husk.
What's a husk? You don't put the whole stalk in
there? I don't know, but that's what they put.
Oh, they separate the chaff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what Metamucil is too, you know
the
that?
Chaff?
Or yeah, it's the chaff. It's
so,
a different kind of chaff.
Do you think it's the same company that's utilizing all part of the buckwheat?
Well, then who's using the part you eat or whatever or make bread out of?
Yeah. I don't know. The bread maker?
Yeah, probably. Probably Wonder Bread itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really into husks lately, I guess
husks.
Is my point. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm an empty husk of a man, Tom. Doing a lot of thinking, a lot of reflecting.
Yeah, well, try one of these pillows.
Things haven't been going so great for old Timmy.
what's been wrong? What's going on?
Nah, everything's fine.
That's what somebody says right before they go on a spree of some sort.
You know what they say, just smile, right?
Yeah.
How does that song go? Smile though your heart is aching.
The song from the Joker trailer?
Yeah, I mean, you know who wrote that song?
Who?
Charlie Chaplin wrote that song.
Wow.
Yeah.
The original Joker.
The original Joker.
Yeah.
Back then he was called the Jokester.
No, there was another guy, the man who laughed. That was the original Joker.
I mean, that's just that could be any of us.
It's true. But he did it before anybody. Before we were even alive.
This week, we're talking about babysitting.
Yeah.
So if you come here for tips and stories about babysitting, you've come to the right place.
If you're a 14-year-old girl and you've got your first babysitting job tomorrow.
You're trying
you're
to
like,
cram.
Oh, what am I going to do? Yeah. Well, let me check podcasts because I'm a teen in 2019.
So spark up your jewel
the decade
device.
Of teens.
Yeah,
didn't even realize we're almost done with this decade, Tim. It's been the decade of teens.
Yeah,
good thing they didn't find out. I think they did. Teens are running everything.
Teens are kind of running stuff.
Yeah,
but they're not like jerks about it
yet.
You know, I've been getting a lot of feedback lately on the internet about being afraid of teens.
Mm-hmm.
Let me state for the record, I'm not afraid of teens anymore.
Wow, what a brave man.
I'm over it. And I think today's teens are nicer than previous teens.
Okay, so you're saying the teens you're afraid of have now aged into adults that you're not
afraid
of.
Yeah, and they're just like shitty 20-somethings.
Yeah, and you don't care about them.
I don't care about it. Some loser 20-something. Yeah. Go complain to your 6 roommates about it.
Yeah, but today's teens you're fine with.
Today's teens, they
don't even smoke cigarettes. They smoke Juuls.
Exactly.
They vape Juuls.
And they have empathy.
Yeah.
I feel like they... what is it, Generation Z?
Sure.
I think for all the screen time and the desensitization that everybody's mm-hmm. complaining about, I think it's a pretty empathetic generation.
Yeah. Today, yesterday's teen, if they saw you trip and fall, they'd laugh at you. But yeah. Today's teen, they'd offer you a hand up, Tim.
They'd write a think piece about it.
Yeah. I offered this man I saw trip a hand.
They don't say man.
I saw this person trip, and I offered him a hand, and he took my hand in an inappropriate way.
Yeah, and so he canceled him.
He's canceled. And here's his picture.
Very be careful, Tom. You're about to get canceled yourself.
Well, Tim.
That's why I'm afraid of teens. I'm afraid some teens gonna cancel me one day.
Well, you've got to get over your bad habit of every time somebody offers you a hand, either to help you up or to shake, doing the madame and then kissing their hand.
I just think it's antiquated. It's chivalrous.
It's antiquated and it's creepy. Nobody likes it.
Babysitting, Tom.
Yeah.
Teens do that a lot. And I can't think of, I know I just praised today's teens, but teens of the past were garbage. And they were just like, hey, here's my newborn baby. Hey, teen, why don't you take care of this thing? We have to go to the movies.
Yeah.
We have to go to Bennigan's. Hey, teen.
I could go for Bennigan's. I've been thinking about Bennigan's the past few weeks. I think there's a Renaissance upon us because it seems like it keeps coming up.
The defunct chain of restaurants?
Yeah, that was like vaguely Irish themed.
Yeah.
But in the same way, like St. Patrick's Day is Irish themed, just, you know, like the leprechauns and
like it would be racist.
Yeah.
Like today's teens are like,
Bennigan's
is canceled.
Pretty,
yeah, pretty problematic.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I disagree with teens. I think they're right. I think most things should be canceled.
Boy, you're just as scared of teens as ever.
Yeah, well, now I remember that teens could get us canceled. Now everybody's kowtowing to the teens.
I know you don't eat meat, Tim, but I think if I had a basket of buffalo popcorn shrimp in front of you from Bennigan's right now, you'd be reconsidering.
What was it? Buffalo popcorn shrimp?
Popcorn shrimp, yeah.
You know what? I'm a fan of popcorn shrimp, Tom. But I don't have this obsession with buffalo flavor that you have.
I had, just the other night, buffalo tater tots.
Was that a good noise
that
or
was
a bad
me
noise?
Kissing
it made
them.
Me sick.
That was me kissing them tots.
You
kissed
the
so
tots?
Good. Yeah, I kissed the tots and then I eat them.
Yeah. Spooning my buckwheat pillow,
longer.
Kissing the tots.
Oh, yeah, I could see how that would sound bad out of context. But it makes them last longer if you give them a kiss first. That's a dieting
last
tip.
Last longer?
Yeah, that's a dieting tip.
What
it
do you
slows
mean
you
last
down.
Longer?
Kiss your food before you eat it.
Oh, it slows you down.
It slows you down a little bit.
Well, that's why I always say, madame, before I take a bite of anything.
Yeah. And it's also why I always eat with a cocktail fork. That way you can't get too much at once.
I don't know. Those things, you can shove a lot on a cocktail fork.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it doesn't slow you down much with the tots because, were you going to eat more than one tater tot at a time?
What are you eating tots with a fork?
These were messy. They were all slimy from the buffalo sauce.
Oh, so it was a sauce-based buffalo.
Yeah, it was a...
I thought
maybe
it was like in the breading. You know what I mean?
Nah, these were like...
Is that the same thing with the popcorn shrimp? Is it a wet shrimp?
No, it's kind of... You know, the
it's
tots
the
were similar.
It's the buffalo flavors in
yeah.
the breading.
The tater tots were not breaded, but it tasted like they were fried with the buffalo sauce on them. I got them at a restaurant. Burger. I think it was called Burger Bistro.
Burger Bistro?
Yeah.
Where
it's
was
in Park
that?
Slope.
Wow, Tom. Fancy.
Look at this. A free advertisement. Go to Burger Bistro, get the buffalo tots.
That's great.
Pretty good.
Babysitting. Who were you going to say more about Burger Bistro?
I was going to say, and buy a buckwheat pillow from anyone you choose.
Burger Bistro Buckwheat.
Or make your own.
Buffalo.
Burger Bistro Buffalo.
Buckwheat.
Buckwheat. That's today's topic, babysitting.
Who suggested this, Tom?
Oh.
This came from a patron.
Yeah. Nikki Fortier.
Ooh.
Or Fortier.
Yeah. Thanks, Nikki. If you want to suggest topics, and
give
we might
money.
Actually do them, yeah, give us friggin' money. Don't just email us.
Those go right in the goddamn trash. You got to give us money, and then you can suggest something on our Patreon, and then even then we'll ignore it until we run out of topics, and then we'll post and we'll.
Yeah,
ask
this is the third
topics.
Week in a row where you know we've been doing this for 10 years. So this is how we're celebrating our 10th anniversary by friggin' running out of things to talk about.
No, we were talking
having
about
to crowdsource things.
That's the way of the future, Tim.
Tom,
crowdsource.
All right, let's open. Let's draw back the curtain for a second.
Yeah.
Of this really well run production.
Right.
People are gonna be like, "Wow, how I didn't know that there were like considerations that need to be." We've been doing the show for 10 years.
Yeah.
We've done a lot of topics. A lot of topics we did early on.
Yes.
And a lot of topics we come in and it's like, we should talk about this. And then we forgot that like 5 years ago we
right.
did an episode on that topic.
And we said everything there was to say about it.
At what point do we declare topic amnesty? And it's just like, you know what? All topics are fair game again. I was a different man in 2010.
Yeah.
When we talked about the Beatles.
Right.
Maybe I want to talk about the friggin' Beatles again. There's John, Paul, George, and Ringo. I know their names now.
They never added another guy?
Eh.
Squiggy?
No, you're thinking of...
Lenny and Squiggy.
Lenny and Squiggy, I think.
They were in the Beatles? They were a spinoff from the Beatles.
They were a spinoff. So, like, there were... Yeah, one album was, like, a Lenny and Squiggy backdoor pilot situation.
Backdoor album?
Yeah.
Huh. I didn't know they did those. Yeah, I say,
I feel like rappers did that.
Oh, absolutely.
Like somebody would be all over it. Like, Snoop Dogg was all over the Chronic and then suddenly Snoop Dogg is a solo
right.
artist.
And Mace.
Yeah.
And then Mace was like, nah, I actually don't want to do this.
I'm going to become a preacher.
Yeah.
Then he came back.
Yeah. Yeah. Eminem was kind of, with Dr. Dre, yeah. right?
Yeah.
That was more of a, like, he didn't appear on Dr. Dre's songs beforehand,
no,
right?
I don't think so.
But it was
so.
Like,
but
I'm going to have Dr. Dre be on my album a lot.
You produced it, yeah, most of it.
Yeah, but like he's going to appear and I'm going to talk about him all the time on it. So then it's going to be like, oh, he's like a reoccurring
the
guest star.
The best rappers are really good marketers too, huh?
It's true. You know about this Lil Nas, you know, the guy who did Old Town Road?
Yeah.
That he was like a meme guy before all this?
A meme
not a meme guy. Meme guy. He had a big meme account on Twitter.com.
Okay.
And now, like...
Lil Nas X?
Lil Nas X. Now his, like, record...
Or Lil Nas the 10.
I'm not sure how it's supposed to be read. But now his, like, record label and people and stuff are trying to, like... you know, scrub that part of...
Oh, really? It seems like, to me like he's just like, I am what I am.
Well...
Like a Popeye kind of character.
I am what I am. No, because the narrative right now is, oh, this guy, you know, popped up out of nowhere and popped up just because, you know, his stuff was so good. And like, you know, that song's a catchy song. But it was really that he had these accounts where he was posting memes and getting tons of followers. And like, very smart, but at when the time was right, he posted this like he found it, not that it was his own thing.
The song was not his own thing?
That's what he how he portrayed it as like, oh, look, here's, you know, with all the memes.
Yeah, well, whatever you got to do. I mean.
Oh, I'm not faulting the guy for
like,
it.
In the 80s, oh, did you know that Debbie Gibson only, her songs only got played on the radio because executives sent those records to the radio stations?
Nah, they got played because they were good.
They were pretty good.
Played on merit. We've talked about in the show how there was a radio station I used to call into and they would give me free cassettes sometimes.
No. What radio station?
There was like some weird local radio station. This one time, I forget what I did, but I got punished.
Why?
I don't know. I mouthed off or something. I might have run away
from
home.
To the radio DJ?
No, to my parents.
Oh.
I used to run away from home a lot.
Well, that doesn't, you know, reflect well on your upbringing.
No, I mean, it was...
How far did you get?
Not, like, never. I would run
usually
away...
Usually get hit by a car and they'd bring me home.
No, I would, like, I would, you know what? To be fair, I would talk a big game. I would say I was running away from home. And I would just, like, go on the other side of the house for a bit.
What spurred you to run away from home?
Oh, usually just disagreements.
Just being a little wuss.
Yeah. One time I got in trouble because...
A little nincompoop.
One time I got yelled at because I missed a wrestling tournament. A tournament I was going to wrestle in, mind you. I wasn't going to WrestleMania or something. No. Boy, that's another. I've told the story about the time he yelled at me, right?
One friggin' story at a time, Tom.
I was supposed to go to this wrestling tournament. And,
how old were you?
I don't know, probably like 10 years old, maybe not even.
They made you wrestle when you were 10?
Yeah, full-grown men, too.
Wow.
But I held my own. No, I was supposed to go to this wrestling tournament, and my dad was real. He was like, we missed a wrestling tournament. And I was like, what?
Were you like, I'm 10. How am I supposed to? Why
100%.
Am I responsible
I was
for
like,
getting us to?
I was like, I have no idea what date it is. I have no idea what date the wrestling tournament was. I have no idea what date today is. That's
well,
on
you. Well,
you
were 10? I mean, what did you also have a head injury at the time?
Yeah, from wrestling. I've been put in too many headlocks. But I was like super upset because I got yelled at for something that I perceived as like not my fault whatsoever. Mm. So I ran away from home. That time I ran away for a while. I was gone for hours. They were real upset when they
were they
me.
Upset? Yeah. Did they go look for you?
Oh yeah. It started snowing while I had run away.
That's why having a kid sucks. Sometimes they try to run away and you have to walk around the neighborhood in the snow going, Tom.
Yeah.
And then other parents are like, did you lose your kid? And they had to be like, no.
Yeah. Well, and then.
No, we didn't.
And then I think my dad got in big trouble because I think my mom wasn't home when this all happened. So, like, when she came home...
she, like, that was your responsibility to bring him to the wrestling tournament.
Well, yeah, when she came home, it was like, where's Tommy? It's like, oh, he ran away. Why'd he run away? Well, I yelled at him for missing the wrestling tournament. And she was probably like, well, how the hell would he know when the wrestling tournament was? He doesn't even want to wrestle.
These men, they beat the shit out of him.
Yeah,
you
know what?
He's all bruised.
Tim, I was lying before when I said I held my own. I did not. These men,
I knew
they
you were,
threw
you were,
me around like a limp rag.
A brave face, yeah.
But yeah, so that was a case where when I was found, it was like, you know, everybody apologized to me. I was the king of the castle for the day because everybody was wrong. And I was right to run away
vindicated.
And show them. Why was I talking about running away?
Because
oh, I was in trouble.
Because you called up the radio station and they gave you cassette tapes. Tom, we have things to talk about today.
So I got in trouble for something or other. And I think it was like, well, we can't punish him by just sending him to his room. Because, like, you know, he's got a bunch of cool shit in his room.
Yeah.
Probably by that point, I had a Super Nintendo.
Did you ever have that hoverboard?
Yeah.
Cool. you told me you had a hoverboard, a working hoverboard. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, and that was in my room, so I couldn't. You know, because it's like, well,
ollies on it and stuff.
Yeah, or just float right out of there, open up a window. So I was punished. I was sentenced to staying in my parents' room where there was nothing fun to do.
That sucks. But also, like, did you just start going through your parents' stuff?
Nah, I didn't want to do that because, you don't know what you're going to find. You don't want to go through their stuff. What am I going to go? Like, oh, cool. Look at this. I found my parents' underwear. How embarrassing for them. So, but they did have a phone in their room, which I did not have, of course. And the phone had a radio in it. So I was so bored. I was like listening to the radio and this radio station gave out a phone number. So I called him up.
I like that this only worked if it was one device, a phone / radio.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have thought to turn on
it
the radio.
It was an alarm clock, too.
Wow.
Yeah, this phone did everything.
80s were a wild time.
Yeah. Technology still hasn't caught up with that.
A phone, a radio, and an alarm clock in one device.
And you could have them all three running at the same time. It didn't even matter.
We'll
they
never
would
touch
get
that.
Too hot.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to do it for long. It'd melt the plastic, but you could do it. So I called them up, and much like this, this is actually my first foray into radio, Tim, and I told them the story of how I got in trouble.
Really?
Yeah. And I forget what the story was, but they thought it made great radio for some reason.
You were on the air?
Yeah, I was on the air. Wow. And for some reason, it was like, yeah, let's spend 10 minutes having this, you know, kid tell us about...
wait, really?
Yeah, about how he got in trouble. And then they were like... all right, yeah, we'll send you some music for your troubles. And I thought it would come like the next day. It took a while for it to come.
You forgot that thing ever happened because you
were a kid.
And...
No, every day I was like, boy, I hope those tapes come. And yeah,
what tapes were they?
One was a crisscross tape.
Nice.
Yeah. I think it was the I Missed the Bus single.
I Missed the Bus.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's about the trials and tribulations that all of us kids faced.
Right. I mean, not me. I never took the bus to school. Hmm. We didn't have a big bus. It's only if you live it on the beach, you have to take the bus.
Big bus. They had several big buses in our school district, Tom.
I always wanted to take the bus. It sounded like fun.
Well, the bus sucked. Sometimes you had to ride what they called the pink bus.
Yeah.
They gave all the buses color names, but they were all just yellow buses. But when you're in... second grade, and they're like, everybody who is on the pink bus, come here. And sometimes they're like, pink like a girl. And
nah.
Then, you know.
No, I'm a boy. Put me on the blue bus. I demand it. I don't care where it takes me to. Did you have to take the bus in school?
When I was a kid. When I was in school, yeah.
Wow. Learn something new every day.
Yeah.
I would have killed to take the bus. I lived too close to the school.
Hey, you know what? There were some bad kids on the bus, though, and then you had to deal with them every day.
Yeah. Well, maybe I would have been the bad kid on the bus.
They knew me, so they left me alone. Yeah, like in the song I Get Around.
I mean, bad kids know the nerds, too. That's why they pick on them. They know everybody.
No, but I was cool with them.
Right.
I was like,
you were like the Peach Boys.
Yeah. And I was like, I condone your bullying behavior as long as you leave me alone. Like, I'm no snitch. I'm no rat.
Yeah. Maybe I'll chuckle along with the.
I never really went that far.
A swirly or two.
I felt bad about that.
Like, yeah,
I was
get
a friend to all. I was above it. You know how they say stand up to bullies, Tom?
Yeah.
And now everybody's saying, like, don't do that. The bullies just double down. Like, they don't really stop.
Who says that?
I don't know. I feel like I've been hearing that a lot, where people are like, nah, just stay away from the bullies. I was almost a bully one day, because there was, like, this weird kid.
Yeah.
And he always just played alone with his Ninja Turtles.
Mm-hmm. I keep told this story.
And
I don't want to do an episode twice past it, but I'll tell this story about something.
I told this episode 10 years ago, Tom. And I was like, you know what? I was in like second or third grade. I was like, let me try on like the bully look, see if this works for me. And so I got a couple of toadies.
Leather jacket.
Yeah. Leather jacket, slicked my hair back, had a couple toadies that would just go like, yeah. And I was like,
you tell him, Tim.
We're going to go steal his Ninja Turtles. And I walked up to him and I was like, oh, Angelo, give me your Ninja Turtles. And I grabbed
his name
one.
Was Michelangelo?
No, it's just Angelo. It might have been short for Michelangelo.
Yeah.
And everybody said he was a weird kid. I think he just like moved to the district like 2 months earlier and didn't like make a lot of friends yet.
Right.
But he got up and he roundhouse kicked me right in the chest and I went flying and I was just like, well, I'm out. Like, no more bullying. That guy Angelo's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, that's a bad.
I won't be messing with that guy again.
Bad pick as your first victim.
Yeah,
the
guy
bully.
Who's taken karate lessons.
Yeah.
Good for him. I deserved it.
Yeah, it sounds like it. But it scared you straight.
Yeah.
Now you're on the straight and narrow.
And it didn't really scare, it humiliated me more than it scared
humiliated
me.
Humiliated you straight.
Yeah. That's the only, shame is has long been the only motivator in my life.
Yeah. Got you this far.
Shame and spite.
Yeah. The best motivators there are.
Yeah.
Tim, we're talking about babysitting.
We sure are, Tom.
Tim, have you ever babysat?
Yes, but not recently.
Yeah, me neither.
Tom, neither of us have children.
No.
But we are both uncles.
Yeah.
I have two nieces and a nephew. No, I was trying to think
ahead.
Wow,
what a great uncle.
No, okay.
I have,
I know there's three of them. There's a two-year-old boy, a two-year-old girl, and a, like, eight-month-old girl.
That we call Slippy.
Well, I was going to say I have two nieces and a nephew, or I was going to say I have two-year-old and an eight-month-old. I was trying to think of how to slice and dice. How I was going to say it.
Sick.
I'm not going to slice and dice
children. How to slice and dice your
anyway,
nieces and nephews.
What I'm saying is I don't think I'd be trusted to babysit them.
Right.
Would you be left alone with your niece?
I've been left alone with my niece for like maybe like 20 minutes at a time.
But,
yeah.
But like you're a 38-year-old man. Like I think I'm 29. So like.
Perpetually 29.
You would think that like. You know, on paper, think it, like if their parents wanted to go out, you'd
right.
be like, oh, I'll call Tom or I'll call Tim, and they'll come in and do this. But I don't think that would ever cross their mind.
No, but I think it's probably more out of they'll like fuck it up and won't do things right. Probably more of a like, oh, they'll overreact.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
A minor thing will happen. And, like, the baby will start crying, and they'll call
the police.
Yeah, and just freak out and not know what to do.
Have you ever changed a diaper?
No.
Right? And to me, it seems like it'd be so hard, but, like, how hard could it be?
No, I mean,
it's
mostly
just
gross.
Wipe a lot of
you gotta wipe shit and sometimes piss.
Yeah.
And that's what, like, I've been occasionally teased about, like, oh, you want to, like, learn how to change a diaper? I'm like, nah, like, I'll, You know, if it's necessary, sure. But right now it is not. So.
And also, like, I think I know you clean it up and then there's sticky things on the diaper that you can tape together.
I can figure it out if I need to. But it's like, you're going to teach me how to do it. I'm going to be like, yeah, it's pretty much what I figured. Then I'm going to do it. I'm going to get stuff all over my hands. You're going to have to do it again anyway.
Yeah.
Look.
Yeah, I don't do this.
If it comes to it, sure. I have no problem.
Yeah, let the first time I do this be in an emergency situation.
Right. I thought about that. Like, are you a godfather?
Technically, yeah, but there was, like, no ceremony or anything.
Oh, okay.
But if these guys, my brother and his wife, they, you know...
Kick the bucket?
Yeah, or fake their deaths or something.
Right.
I think I know those kids come to me. And my wife. I mean, if it was just me, they'd be like, we'll find somebody else.
But. Yeah. No, I thought it, because I'm my niece's godfather, and I thought about that, like, somewhat recently, where I was like, oh, like, yeah, no, I would actually, like, have to really step up.
Yeah.
If, like,
that'd
this
be a real
just
change
a,
of lifestyle.
A ceremonial thing, because I'm like, nah, the kid would go to, and then I was like, ooh. Yeah. I guess, like, I would get a ton of help, but it's like, nah, I mean, this would really be a thing. I should have
they have a pretty cool house, though. You would lay claim and be like, well, I get your house, right?
That's what I kind of thought, where I was like, yeah, I would probably also be entitled to the house. I mean, like, I guess maybe, like, my niece would be left the house, but it's like,
yeah,
well,
but you're a guardian.
And I could trick her into signing something over.
Yeah.
She doesn't know what she's signing at this point.
Yeah.
I've already had her sign so many documents for me. She doesn't even look at them.
Those documents from a 6-month-old will really hold up in court, I think. How old?
Nah, she's almost a year old now.
Wow, Tom.
If you can believe it, 10 months old. Tim, have you ever babysat as like a kid, though?
Actually, once when I was a teenager, I was put in charge for like several hours.
Uh-huh.
Of my two younger cousins, who were probably like 1 and 3 at the time. And I don't know why they like chose a 13-year-old to do it. But
yeah.
All I remember is the 1-year-old just like cried literally the whole time.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what to do. So I just like picked her up and just like stood there. And then was like, I hope their parents get home soon.
That's risky. Two kids, because you're outnumbered at that point.
Yeah.
I was occasionally hired to babysit a neighbor kid.
How old was the neighbor kid, and how old were you?
I'm going to say he was younger than 5.
Okay.
And I was probably like...
Hopefully older than 5.
I was 6. No, I was probably like 14, maybe.
Okay.
And it was one of these situations. It was a, like, the mom and dad were going to go out... You know, on like a date or whatever.
Swinging.
I don't. Maybe. No, because it wasn't long enough to like really go swinging, I don't think.
Or maybe just like, do you think they went to like some weirdo Eyes Wide Shut party? How long did those
last? That's what swinging is.
Could you like dip in and out of those though? Like you could just be like, we'll stop by the orgy and like in and out in 45 minutes. We'll be
Eyes Wide Shut deal, you can.
Yeah.
But I feel like a swinger party. A lot of that is like the anticipation.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
You know, it's like building up. It's like, well, we're going to pretend like this is a regular party the whole, you know, for a while.
Is that just how it played out in movies and stuff?
I mean, I have no basis of how a swinger party works other than movies.
Well, then what are you pontificating here?
I'm just telling you what I know based on movies.
Flapping your gums about.
Look, if anybody's a swinger and they want to email in and tell us about how these parties work and whether there's a lot of pomp and circumstance beforehand, a lot of, you know, will they or won't they, a lot of like, maybe this is just a regular party and we're not gonna swap wives and husbands by the end of it, let us know.
Yeah, the complete guide to everything at gmail.com. I'm interested in that. I want to hear from the swingers.
But what I was saying about my babysitting experience, that it was more of a, like, I don't know, I don't think it was a swinger thing. I think it was like a dinner and a movie thing. But they would, like, I would come over and the kid would already be in bed.
Okay.
Situation.
Yeah.
So this was more
the
of a...
the easiest kind of babysitting.
By far the easiest kind of babysitting. The, like, look, we need somebody here in case the kid wakes up screaming or
right.
whatever.
And you're not, and if that happens, you're screwed.
You're screwed, but you have a
but
phone number
there.
Of where
yeah.
to reach us.
Yeah.
But again, this
but
was.
But don't call it because it's going to be in the middle of a weird.
Well, and this was like before cell phones. So it was mm-hmm. like, here's the restaurant. So it's like, yeah, you think like 14-year-old me is going to be like, oh, hello, speaking to the maitre d'.
Yeah. Well, maybe. I don't know. Have a little confidence. That.
And maitre d' be like, who's calling?
I'm gonna bring. Okay, I'll find that person. I know the names of everybody sitting at these
well,
tables.
Well, they would know because there were reservations.
And then
I'll put
okay,
the phone on
the
tray.
You walk the phone on the tray over
yeah.
there. Which how did that work? Did they just have a phone with a really
yeah,
long
they had
cord?
A phone with a really long cord.
That's cool. That, yeah. But like, I don't think if I was starting a restaurant in the 80s, I'd be like, oh, we're going to have to get one of those phones with a really long cord.
Well, and that's why they switched to, you know, you have to come up to the desk and talk to somebody.
Yeah. Again, I think we're entirely getting this from movies. And I think it's,
yeah, I don't think any restaurants
had. I think they just needed people to take the call for plot purposes in front of other people.
Yeah.
And that's why they had
and
the
I
phone
feel like
on the tray.
Even that was, that might have actually even only happened in cartoons, because
yeah.
I think in most movies.
I think it might have happened on Cheers a few times.
Oh, they had a phone with a long cord.
No, not even
oh, when
in
they
the
were
bar.
Out
when
to dinner. Yeah,
yeah, they'd go out to Melville's or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, I'm thinking of when Vera called looking for Norm.
Oh,
they could
yeah.
pop that phone up on the bar, no problem.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Woody was good at popping that phone up on the bar.
Yeah, that phone had a nice long cord. Mm. I feel like nowadays you go to bars, a lot of them have phone mounted or wall mounted
like
phones.
Pay phones?
No. But just, you know, it's mounted up on the wall.
Oh, yeah. That thing rarely ever rings.
I was at a bar the other day and somebody called and the bartender answered the phone. I was like, what the fuck? I'm waiting for a drink and you're answering the phone. I'm going to lose my mind.
Well, it's unreasonable on your part.
Well, you think that guy's going to, yeah, I need a gin and tonic. I'm here. I'm a paying customer. Nobody calling a bar on the telephone has anything good to say. Any good questions asked? The questions are going to be like, are you open? Or did you find my wallet there?
Yeah, it's stuff that needs to be dealt with.
Hey, I got money. I got cold hard cash here I'm looking to spend.
Do you ever call a place to see if they're open? And if somebody answers, you just hang up?
No, because sometimes they could be answering and they're like, you know, maybe it's just there's like a meeting at work.
Yeah, or they're doing inventory on a Sunday or something.
Right.
Yeah, I usually ask what time they're open till.
Yes.
But I try to disguise my voice so they don't recognize me when I come in.
I mean, we've talked about this, but boy, nothing more embarrassing than calling a place and then going there. I don't know why.
Yeah, if you're just thinking, they're thinking like, well, here's the fucking guy from the phone.
But I'm telling you, Tim, when I worked at a store, that is what I thought. And I would often like, you know, it was like a little game I'd play with myself of like, I'm not going to let them on until the very end, until like the transaction's done. I'm going to let them think like, oh, I got away with it. And at the very end, I'm going to be like, you're the guy who called before, aren't you?
No, that's the worst time.
Yeah. And then they'd often return the item. They were so embarrassed.
Oh, I forgot. I did babysit another time.
Okay.
And it was a bit of a fiasco, Tom.
Yeah.
I was supposed to babysit like a baby, like a young baby.
Yeah.
And I'd like forgotten, so it's late. I got there late, and then I was mad. And like,
How old were you?
Probably about like 16, 15.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I was like, oh man. I wanted to do other things.
Right.
So it's like, I wish.
Yeah, but babysitting was such an easy way to make money.
I know. But this was like more of an obligation than like a paid thing. So like, I stupidly was just like, I wish this baby would get kidnapped by a goblin. But Tom, then this goblin came, Jareth.
Okay.
He took the baby and was like, oh, you're only going to get this baby back if you go through this like crazy labyrinth that I've set up, and you're going to like encounter all these monsters along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Took forever. Took all night.
I feel like that's the plot of the movie Labyrinth.
Or is a maze or something. I don't know if it was an actual labyrinth, Tom, but...
You said it was a labyrinth. I mean, a maze and a labyrinth are kind of the...
There's like this dwarfish guy named Hoggle.
Uh-huh.
It was a weird day.
It
but I got the baby
like
back in the end, but it was just... It was a weird babysitting situation. It was a weird experience. It was an adventure in babysitting, Tom.
What? No, that's a different movie.
This is my life.
Adventures in Babysitting is a good movie.
Elizabeth Shue.
Elizabeth Shue. Still have such a crush on
Elizabeth Shue.
Elizabeth, she could wear my shoes anytime.
Ew. Quentin Tarantino? I liked Adventures in Babysitting, but we never saw her, her feet out of her shoes.
Yeah, if I was going to remake it, I'd want her to put her feet up on things a lot.
Do you think that's why Quentin Tarantino hasn't worked with Elizabeth Shue? He's like, I'd rather work with Elizabeth no shoes.
Elizabeth barefoot. In Avengers and Babysitting, I wonder what that movie would be like for kids now, because one of the things in that movie was that the youngest kid was obsessed with Thor. And now everybody knows who Thor is, but at the time I didn't know who the hell Thor was.
Okay, who gives a shit? Shut up. Everything has to come back to the Marvel universe for you, Tom.
I'm just saying, I wonder.
You know why I can't babysit now?
What?
Do you know what kids eat?
What?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, most babysitting situations, they've got the food there. They're not like, okay, make sure you bring the food.
I just, whenever I see a young child eat, it's like, oh, okay. They just, you're just going to let them eat berries for dinner and
no,
then they're, that's it?
Okay. I'll tell you what kids nowadays eat. They eat pouches of things.
Okay.
And they eat puffs. Puffs of
things. Yeah, there's puffs of everything.
Yeah.
Puffs of all sorts.
Yeah.
I'd like to live in a world where I just eat out of pouches and puffs.
I've had some of those puffs. They're not bad. I've had some of those
puffs. Yeah.
I've had some of those pouches. They're not bad. I've taken to putting pouches in my bag of peanut butter.
You steal?
No, I
from
don't
a child?
Steal from a, I
Wait,
buy
a
with
pouch of peanut butter?
Pouch of peanut butter. Peanut butter pouch.
Wow. What do you put it on?
My mouth, on my tongue.
You just squeeze a pouch of peanut butter?
Yeah, just suck it out.
That's gross. Do you
What's
do this so in public?
Gross about it? No, I do it in a cubicle. Nobody can, they can hear it, but they can't see it.
Oh, God. You're the most hated man in that co-working
no,
space.
No, everybody loves me.
No. Everybody loves the slurping
guy.
Of peanut butter coming from my cubicle.
It's smooth peanut butter. It doesn't make that much noise.
Tom, I got to... Look, I'm not going to go into it, but my peanut butter situation, my nut butter situation at home is a travesty right now.
Why? Although, you can't just leave that dangling out there.
It all goes dry. I don't like it.
You got to mix it better.
I know, but
eat
I can't.
Eat it faster.
I can't spend all my time mixing up nut butters. Oh. I got places to be. I'm a man on the go, Tom.
You know what? I worked with somebody that wouldn't mix the peanut butter well, and boy, it would frustrate the hell out of me.
How often do I need to tend to my peanut butters?
Just every time you're taking some, give it a fucking mix.
Well, now it's too late, and I got like 3 jars. I got an almond butter, I got a peanut butter, I got a sunflower friggin' butter.
Yeah. Put some oil in there.
Sun butter? Yeah, I could put oil in there.
Yeah, put some oil in there.
Because it's just... friggin' like rocks and crumbs in there.
Yeah, get some oil in there. You can loosen it up.
I'm going to go home and loosen up some of my nut butters, Tom. I'm glad we had this talk. I'm glad you encouraged me to talk about this in a public forum.
Yeah, Tim, you should never feel embarrassed to talk about these things.
Whew, that's, you know, that's a load off my mind. That's something that I won't be thinking about when I'm drifting off to sleep tonight.
Yeah,
it's no longer a past failure, Tom. It's an opportunity to make things right.
Well, I'm glad I could help.
You're a good man, Tom.
Thank you.
Just kidding. You're a scoundrel. Nobody likes you.
Did you have any memorable babysitters when you were a kid?
No, I guess not. I mean, I had a lovely woman,
mm-hmm.
But like not. It wasn't like a teen variety. It was like when my mom was at work and when my parents were at work,
right?
And I was really young, and I'd go to her house like all day.
I had that when I was real young. It was like a family friend.
Yeah.
Actually,
the family friend that I went to.
Mm-hmm.
It's right across the street from your home.
Wow. Well, the one I went to was not across the street from my home.
Oh, that's a shame.
This was somebody where it was like a family friend, but she had a ton of kids. And I think it was basically like she was running like an unlicensed daycare out of her out of her home.
An unlicensed daycare is fine until something goes wrong.
Yeah.
And then everybody's in a lot of trouble.
Well,
so much trouble.
And I'm surprised because I don't remember it, but apparently once when I was a little kid, I rode a tricycle right off the stairs.
Wow.
That was fine, I guess. No, I actually think I have like a big scar from that, but...
I have a huge scar on my knee. I had some teen babysitting me.
Yeah.
And I cut my knee open on a rusty nail.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh my God, that looks really bad. And then just put like a Band-Aid on it. I don't think she even like cleaned it out. I probably needed stitches. I still have a scar.
It's still open. It's still an open
it's
wound.
It's festering.
Where did our parents find teen babysitters?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Neighborhood?
Yeah, because like I had this one teen babysitter. And I think my parents kept hiring her because I was like, yeah, she's great. Because she was fun.
How so?
Like, she would just talk to me about shit.
Oh.
But then I remember, like, she got...
like, she has fun as the radio DJs?
Yeah, pretty much. I could complain to her about my parents being too strict.
Man, you had a fraught relationship with your parents when you were a kid, huh?
Yeah. Instead of having, a therapist, I had the radio and this teen babysitter. Yeah,
I mean, those DJs were taking advantage of you.
No, they weren't. Oh, they were using me for fodder,
the airwaves
to grow their
those shock jocks were profiting off of your pain and misery.
Right off mic, some producer was going, "Keep them going. The ratings are going up. The ratings are going bonkers.
They're through the roof.
Everybody's tuning in.
Just keep Tommy talking."
It wasn't like a kid show. It was just like a regular show.
I mean, they want to see you. They want to hear what Tommy has to say next. Half of them love Tommy. Half of them hate him. But they just can't turn it off.
Yeah. I would keep calling back up, and they were like, so what's going on? And I'd be like, can you send me some more of those tapes? Yeah, I just want some tapes. When I was a kid, I was so goddamn frugal with buying tapes and CDs. I guess because they were expensive, you know?
Yeah, and he didn't have a job or any disposable income.
I just didn't really have money. I would buy a lot of cassette singles. Cassingles?
Yeah, I had my share of cassingles.
Yeah, they were a lot cheaper.
Yeah. Well, they only had one, two songs on them at most.
Yeah, sometimes they had three or four.
Yeah, one time I bought Ugly Kid Joe.
Everything
Cats
I Hate
in the
About
Cradle.
You. Oh, okay.
The cover of Cats in the Cradle, a single. And then I had it on in the car. My mom was driving me to something like Little League practice or something. And it automatically flipped to the other side after the song was over. Mm-hmm. And there was a cursing song on the other side.
Man.
And boy, did I get that Ugly Kid Joe single taken away so quickly. And it's like when your parents take away an album, they don't reimburse you for the allowance that you spent on it.
Yeah.
It's like, yep, you just wasted $6. I don't like that there's a cursing song on this thing. Sorry.
Well, you're telling me, Tim, I got my Adam Sandler, They're All Gonna Laugh at You CD taken away.
You know what? That's not appropriate for children.
No, but that was expensive.
We listen to that all the time. Yeah, it was expensive and it was explicit.
Yeah.
They kept the price up to keep the kids from buying it.
But so this teen babysitter I had that was cool, she got too comfortable.
Did you have a crush on her?
Probably. I had a crush on everybody when I was a kid. No, I don't think I did. I think I wanted her to think I was cool, but I don't know if I necessarily had a crush on her, to be honest. But then I remember, pretty quick succession, she had a boyfriend over, and I was like, what the fuck is this? You can't have some boyfriend over here. And I think I told my parents, and that's the thing too. You can't trust kids. She was like, don't tell your parents. I was like, okay, I won't. And then,
well, you were a little shit, Tom. She should have known from her conversations with you that you couldn't be trusted.
Right. So I told my parents, and I think they told her you can't have, boys.
It's a
over.
Reckless move. I would never have had the confidence to pull those kind of shenanigans.
No. So then the next thing that happened, she was like, I want you to go ride your bike down to the store, a few blocks away. And I was like, I'm not allowed to do that. And she's like, it's fine. You're allowed.
You are
to.
Now. I'm in charge.
Yeah, I'm in charge. You're allowed to. I'm going to give you some money. You got to go buy me some Marlboros, some Marlboro Reds. It's like, what? What is that? She's like, it's cigarettes. It's like, I'm certainly not old enough to buy cigarettes. She's like, no, it's fine. He's telling me they're for your babysitter.
The smoke shop would have sold. I know where she was sending you.
Oh, yeah, it was the smoke shop. Yeah, and
they would have sold to a 6-year-old, no problem.
She literally said to me, no, it's fine. Because this wasn't she was definitely too young to buy cigarettes, but this wasn't a gambit of, I'll get around that. It was like, no, they tell them my name and they'll sell you the cigarettes, no problem. So I was like, nah, I'm not. In fairness, she didn't push me, but I told my parents about that too. And then they were like, we're not going to hire her anymore.
Well, only a 2-strikes policy for your parents?
No, because
very strict.
No, because then my dad thought she stole his watch.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Man, she was a real scoundrel.
Yeah.
I like her.
And my dad
Who was this?
Oh, I don't even remember what her name was.
How did they find her?
That's what I want to know. I should ask my mom.
Yeah. Like, because you see also in, like, pop culture where it's like, oh, you get a babysitter from, like, the babysitter service or whatever.
Right.
I wouldn't trust that.
Yeah. When I remember my parents asking me before they told me that they thought she stole this watch, they were like, did she go in the bedroom at all? And I was like, yeah, she went in there and went to sleep for a while. And she did, which, like, and it turned out she did, like, years later, my dad found this watch. She didn't steal the watch.
Oh, man.
But it, on top of everything else, it was like, all right, we can find other babysitters.
Mm. Well, a lot of teens smoked in the 80s. Friggin' Drew Barrymore smoked, and she was America's sweetheart.
Their problem wasn't that she smoked.
Johnny Carson smoked.
And Johnny Carson was my babysitter.
Your parents were like, ah, I love Johnny. Ah, whatever Johnny does. Hey, if Johnny waves you over, you go over to the couch.
No, I think it was their problem wasn't any of that. Their problem was that she was like trying to make me go buy cigarettes.
You need to get outside. Get out of the house.
No, I think that probably their concern was like, oh, if he does this, then maybe he'll realize like, oh, I could get cigarettes by just saying, oh, I'm buying cigarettes for that lady again.
How old
again.
Were you, six?
No. I was like 10 or 11.
Yeah, you still couldn't have handled Marlboro Red. You would have been coughing up a lung.
I was, you know what? I was at that awkward age where I was old enough to be left alone, but I was not old enough to be left alone with my brother and be watching my brother. So she was mostly there to watch my brother, but I was like kind of... So I think I kind of looked at her as like a peer.
Right.
Of like, yeah,
like
we're both old enough.
It's a technicality that you're here and...
because she wasn't watching me. She was watching my brother. And I think that was even like, you know, because I protested and it was made clear like, no. She's like not watching you. She's because I would just kind of like come and go. I think that was why she would do things like, you know, just go take a nap in my parents' bed for a few hours because it was like... I wasn't around. I would come home and she'd be like, oh, yeah, well, you're here.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, yeah, man, I got some shit I need to get off my chest. Let's talk.
You know what they could do?
What?
If you want a kid not to grow up and smoke, when they're like 5, just make them smoke one Marlboro Red.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't be able to handle that. And they'd be like, it feels like I'm dying. And then they'd always associate that with, this is probably why I'm not asked to babysit that often.
Yeah. Like,
my 2-year-old nephew, I was just giving him one Marlboro Red.
Before I'm watching this kid, have you forced him to smoke a cigarette yet?
Just one.
Just
but it's got to be like the throat-hurtingest one.
Yeah, I'm going to rip the filter off first,
too.
Yeah,
exactly.
But look, it's going to be good in the long run. They'll never want to smoke. I was looking up urban legends about babysitters, and there's really just that one.
I saw you looking up erotic stories about babysitters.
Well, those are a lot of. But there was only the one about like the calls coming from inside the house.
Yeah, and that's a true story.
It's not a true story.
That probably happened at one point.
I looked it up on Snopes, and it says it's a legend, which means that the...
What does Snoops know?
Which means that the details are so vague that it could have happened.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It probably happened.
Yeah,
there's enough people in this world, enough creeps, enough telephones, enough houses.
Could they narrow it down to the calls coming from inside the house?
I don't know. The phone company knew a lot back in the day.
I don't think they did because it was always
the phone company knows a lot now.
Like, we need to keep you on the line longer so we can trace the call.
Yeah, but like... It's still pretty impressive that they can trace the call.
Yeah, but could they? That's what I'm asking.
I don't know. Ask one of those operators. Hold, please.
and then she's got to go find the answer.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I'm getting charged for the phone call.
Oh, God. Nickel and dimed by Ma Bell.
Tim, you have anything else to say about babysitters?
No, I mean, they provide a great service. I'm pro babysitter.
You know, they think the, what is it, entomology?
Entomology? Yeah.
Is from hens sitting on eggs.
Oh. But didn't the hen lay the egg?
But didn't it also sit on it? I think sometimes hens would sit on other eggs.
Really?
I think if you put them on other eggs, they'd be like, eh, whatever, same shit.
Yeah, but should that be same what we shit, base the whole day. Word on?
No, but it's one of those words where they're like, not really sure.
That never, even when they are sure, it's like, okay, I don't care where this word came from.
Yeah.
You want to solve a problem?
Yes.
Hello, I'm Tim.
I'm Tom.
And welcome to Tim and Tom Solve Your Problems. We're going to solve a problem. I did the intro wrong, Tom. Everybody's mad at me. Are you mad at me?
Yes.
If you have a problem you'd like us to solve, email us at thecompleteguidetoeverything@gmail.com. Tom?
Yeah.
Today's problem.
Well, before you get to that, I have to make a correction about last week's problem that we solved.
This is becoming a weekly occurrence for you.
Yeah. It's rare that I'm wrong, but when I am, I'm the biggest man, and I say it. I said you couldn't block individuals from seeing your Instagram stories. That must have been a close friend feature.
Mm-hmm.
But I listened to a podcast this week about that feature. And
what podcast? The Joe Rogan Experience?
No. It was called Why'd You Push That Button? If you must know. And they had an episode this week about close...
Don't go listen to that. You keep listening to our episodes. The new episode, when this is over, you go into the back catalog. Stop. Tom, never ever say a name of another podcast.
Yeah,
on
you'll
again.
Bleep that out, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And also every mention of you obsessively listening to the Joe Rogan Experience.
So they had an episode about the close friends feature on Instagram this week.
And don't listen to it, though. It sucks.
And
that episode's garbage.
That prompted me while I was listening to the episode to go into Instagram settings and look at that. And I was like, oh, look at that. There is a thing in here.
So I haven't been seeing your stories lately.
You can block people from your stories. No, you've been seeing my stories. You can't get enough of my stories. I look.
You know what? I'm so bummed about stories that I can't publicly reply to them because I have so many good burns, but I don't want to just like... tell you something mean in private that takes the fun out
well,
of it.
Well, if it's good enough, Tim, maybe I'll screenshot it and I'll add it to the
no,
story.
No, they're usually just mean.
Oh, okay. Yeah, then
or
I
it's
won't.
Just like punching a hole in your logic.
Like what?
Like I'm like a member of the intellectual dark web and I'm, I'm pointing out the flaws in your logic.
Like what lot? Tim, I don't post a lot of like...
You posted a Nike shoe and you're like, oh, great. The shoe I bought has the slogan for the company. Yeah. Like you were outraged. Like every Nike shoe that you buy doesn't have the fucking logo on it.
I
know. Are you like,
the logo's...
you don't want people to know it's a Nike shoe?
No, because the logo is cool. The slogan, I think, is too much.
Yeah, but the slogan is a great slogan. It's simple. But every once in a while, I'm reminded of like, what a great, you know, there's a reason they've only had one slogan for the last like 40 years.
Yeah. Every once in a while when you're reminded of it, like when you look at my shoes.
Yeah, exactly. I'm looking at it right now as you take off your shoes and put your dirty bare feet in my face. Tom, this problem comes from Dan.
Okay.
Dear Tim and Tom, he writes, love the show. Hey, Tom, I accept your apology for getting that wrong last week.
It wasn't an apology. It was a correction.
It was, it takes a big man to admit he was wrong and apologize profusely.
Well,
so
I did say I was the biggest man.
Love the show, longtime listener, first time whiner about my problems. This guy's a funny one. I am an English teacher in Poland.
Okay.
I spend most of my time in a classroom doing basic lessons to a bunch of students, to a group of students. It's basic, though. However, I earn money having one-to-one advanced lessons with people who want to practice conversations.
Mm-hmm.
My problem is that when having multiple two-hour conversations with a person in a week... and not wanting to do that with people who are tedious, annoying, or humorless, I end up liking my student.
Okay.
Eventually, they become a friend, and it feels really weird charging them to have a chat with me. Should I stop teaching people I will like, stop making friends, or start charging all of the people for a conversation with me? I am certain that you are able to help. Yours, Dan. You can use my real name. I would never recommend this podcast to any students trying to learn English.
What the? Why not? This is the best way to learn English.
Yeah, it's conversational.
Yeah, a lot of people.
That's what this is for. Tom is ESL. I've been teaching him English over the last 10 years.
He's come along. I've really made some great progress.
And don't ruin this for me, Dan. I continue to charge Tom for every week. Yeah, guess what? You can talk to someone for 2 hours a week and not become friends. You could resent each other. Guess what? Learn from us.
And guess what? You can monetize it.
Yeah.
You can make money off of it, and you would feel guilty at all.
Oh, that's the smart move. If these are really interesting conversations, Dan, so interesting that you end up liking these people,
start
record it. Put ads on it once in a while when your network sells them. Start a Patreon.
Yeah, put hour two on the Patreon, and then they have to sign up to listen to that.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I buy that. You know how they say, like, you can fall in love with anybody by, like, if you guys, like, stare into each other's eyes for, like, 10 minutes uninterrupted?
Well, there's that, there's, like, a series of questions
you can ask somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just don't ask those questions. And do you think Dan's falling in love with these people, these Polish people?
It sounds like he might be falling in love with
these
all
Poles.
This.
We call them Poles, right?
Yeah, I don't know. That might be problematic nowadays.
Then what's the
Poland.
Residence of the Republic of Poland?
Is it a republic?
I don't know. It sounds about right.
Polish people. People who live in Poland. Yeah, Poles, I believe, is actually.
I mean, off mic, you were saying a lot of jokes.
Well,
because
now I remember the thing that is offensive.
Yeah.
So it's Poles, I believe.
Yeah. No, because that was, a blank, and a blank walk into a thing.
Yeah, you can say a priest, a rabbi. That's not problematic yet.
People are going to get the wrong idea the way that we talk about this.
Keep saying that I listen to Joe Rogan all the time. It's just when he has UFO people on.
And the intellectual dark web.
No, it's just when he has UFO people on, and I spend half the time screaming at the TV because he's getting things wrong.
Well, you listen to the podcast on the TV already earmarks you as the most out-of-touch man I've ever met. Like grandparents were like, I listen to a podcast on web TV.
I don't use web TV. I use Apple TV.
What should he do? I mean, I don't think it's that much of a problem. It's crazy to me. I feel like I could do this. Anybody could do this job.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's why it's an attractive job. He's in Poland, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's why, like, we know somebody that taught English in Thailand for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, if you're a native speaker, then you're going to be a rare commodity in these places. And especially a language like English that's full of weird idiosyncrasies. Like, you can only master it through conversation, I think. So that's why. Yeah, like it is a job a lot of English speakers can do. It's, do you want to move to Poland and teach English?
Do you think Dan is threatened by us and that's why he wouldn't let his students listen to our podcast?
We're like he's the John Henry and we're the steam engine coming through.
Yeah. And yeah, he could beat us, but then he'll drop dead.
All right, and we'll just keep on trucking
along. Yeah,
that's
a veiled threat. I know a lot of dangerous people in Poland.
I would say, and I would be doing this regardless, if I were teaching English in a foreign country, I would adopt like a whole different backstory and persona.
Oh, I'm sure Dan's acting like, my name's Joe Cool.
My name's Joe Cool.
That'd be you would be like, hey, it's me, Joe Rogan.
The original Joe Cool. Smoking cigarettes. Hey, you want to buy some real American cigarettes?
Yeah, I hope.
Some cigarettes,
look,
too.
Look, Your problem is, I make friends, and then it's weird charging them money. Charge your friends money.
You should be charging all your friends money.
This is what happens. It's like the prostitute with a heart of gold, and then she, someone falls in love with her, and she, it's Pretty Woman. Watch Pretty Woman and see how the Pretty Woman reacted. Julia Roberts.
Yeah, I'll tell you how she reacted when he snapped the jewelry thing closed like a clam. She was startled, but then quite amused.
She laughed.
She went, oh!
That's a great Julia Roberts.
Thank you. Yeah. Been working on it.
I'm working on a Richard Gere, but okay. It's purely visual.
I saw there was a picture going around of a dog that looked like Richard Gere, and it was really pretty accurate.
Yeah. And I think it's a pretty handsome dog. I don't think like,
it was like a Shiba Inu or something. It was a very good looking dog. It wasn't like, one of those dogs with like a wrinkly face.
You know what? I think, Dan, here's what you have to do. You have to test these people. You consider them friends, and you feel awkward about charging them money once they've become your friend, right? Yeah. That's the thing. But the thing is, who knows that they see you as friends, or they're just like, look, I'm going to make this guy think he's my friend.
Yeah, and I'm going to start getting the milk for free.
Yeah, exactly. So a real friend wouldn't turn you in if you admitted to a horrific crime.
Yeah.
And you might have to clear this. I'm not sure how in you are with the Polish police or the detectives over there, but try to brief them ahead of time and be like, some guy's going to come in here and say that, like, I did something horrible and I didn't. And here's what, like, maybe yeah, you give you them give incentive.
The, if you give the police the details of a crime beforehand, then you're
maybe
you're
make
cleared.
It like a magic trick, though. You're just like, hey, I'm going to let you, the police officer, describe a fictional crime to me. Somebody might come in here and then tell you that I committed that exact crime, but you shouldn't believe them. I'm just going to tell them that as a friendship test.
Yeah.
And if they come to you, I'll know that they're not my true friend.
And I need you to call me right away.
Exactly. And describe the person. Or you might have to come up with a distinct crime for each of your students to tell them that you committed, so you can more easily keep track of them. So one just might be a stabbing, right. But one might be a multiple homicide.
Yeah. You need different details for each.
Yeah. And then, look, if they keep your secret, well, then that's your green light to do crimes because your friends aren't going to tell, right? And they're truly your friends. And the cops are just going to be like, it's hard to keep track of all the fictional crimes that we came up with together. So these must be fake crimes that he's being accused of.
My suggestion was going to be that, and you let them know about this, but like whenever you hang out with them off the clock, you're going to talk like Yoda. You're going to be like, oh, hang out with you, I will. So they can't get any good, they can't get any learning in.
Yeah, but then it's also like, well, I'm going to, some of that's going to rub off on me and then I'm going to get all effed up.
I don't think it's going to rub off that easily.
If somebody talks to you in like poor English, like that's gonna, like talking to them for a while, that's gonna rub off on you unless you're not empathetic.
See, you're saying if I talk like Yoda to too many people, then I'm just gonna naturally talk like
Yoda
all the time.
No, if you and I are hanging out a bunch and you're always talking like Yoda, some of those tics are just going to transfer to me. Like, I'm going to start once in a while.
And
doing
then
it.
They're going to need to buy more private lessons to undo the tics.
Yeah, but or they'd be like, okay, I'm just not going to hang out with you out socially.
Yeah, like, fine, that is.
If you have a problem you'd like us to solve, email us at thecompletegaidetoeverything@gmail.com.
If you're in London, tcgt.com/live for our London shows coming up in September. Check that out. You can find more information about everything, tcgt.com. Follow us on Twitter at Complete Guide. Follow us on Twitter,
Slava.
You know what, Tim? You're right. It did rub off on me. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/completeguide. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Tom Reynolds.
Follow me at your pal Tim.
If you want to support the show, check out tcgta.com/Amazon for your Amazon shopping. And patreon.com/completeguide. This week, episode 4 of the Island of Dr. Moreau.
The thrilling conclusion of the book.
Yeah, on Books the Podcast, a weekly podcast about books. You get all the back episodes and everything.
Starting
at $5 a month.
Pittance.
Patreon.com/completeguide is the website for that.
Tom, are there more plugs?
No, I think that was all the plugs. No, I have a new book yet.
Soon,
though.
I think we covered everything you need to know about babysitting today.
Yeah. I talked about the urban legend. Hold on. I thought I had maybe one more. No, I got.
What about the urban legend of the drugged out babysitter who put the baby in the microwave?
Oh, yeah. Don't do that.
Yeah. That's my main tip, I think. Don't get all drugged out and put a baby in the microwave.
Yeah. My notes were adventures in babysitting, urban legends, babysitter who wanted me to buy her cigarettes and then accused of stealing my father's watch. Babysitting boys, which just meant boys who babysit, like me and you. Babysitters having their boyfriends over. And that was mostly it. When I was a kid, I felt unfairly maligned that like I wasn't trusted as a boy to babysit. It's my first.
Yeah, but you weren't.
My first case of being discriminated against for being a man.
You've been listening to a lot of the Joe Rogan podcast, huh?
Why can't I babysit just because I'm a man? Makes me wonder.
One time, unfortunately, I was being babysat. My parents were on a trip.
And if so, just to interrupt for a second, if I was a kid and my parents were like, this is your babysitter, as a teenage boy, I'd be like, what the fuck? Are you out of your minds? No. He's going to burn the house down.
Yeah, well, it happens. Well, even crazier, Tom, my parents went on a trip and they're like, this old lady, she's gonna babysit you.
Oh, don't tell mom the babysitter is dead situation.
Yeah. But guess what? The babysitter died. Guess what I said? The dishes are done.
Oh, I see. It's just another joke about you lying.
It's all jokes about me lying, Tom. My whole life has just been jokes and lying. Jokes and lies. Jokes and lies. Hey, everybody, it's me, Tim. I'm a joker and I'm a fucking liar.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.